Hey everyone, my name is Josh, and thanks for checking out one of our sermons today. We are so glad that you're here, and we want to connect with you and your family. The easiest way to do that is to text River Church to 97,000. There you can ask questions, submit prayer requests, and even support the River Church financially. At the end of the day, we just want to connect with you and your family and be a blessing any way that we can. You could also visit our website at theriverchurch.cc to learn more about us and what we have going on as a church. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope you are blessed by today's message.
Good morning. Good to be with you. Good to gather with you. I'm sorry for Pastor Ryan shaming people not putting their Christmas trees up in October, by the way. All right. So you're thinking, I feel like we should be praying for him, not vice versa, by the way. That's good. My wife did say last week, so when are we going to do it? I said, We'll see. So, we'll see. It's good. It's good to be with you. Good to gather with you. We are just so grateful for how good God is. If you're a guest here, if I don't know you, you're newer, you've just been invited. My name is Caleb. I'm the pastor here. And we spend the next few minutes opening God's Word. And that is, we believe it is directive and a guide to our lives. We believe the Bible is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. That's what the Bible describes itself as. And so it is all truth. There are no errors. And so we want to shape our lives on the Word of God. Okay? That's if you tune out for the rest of the morning, shaping your life on the Word of God is so imperative and important. Last week, I really kicked off, if you would say, a sub-series of the Romans series. You're like, what does that mean? Well, if you've not been with us, we've been going through Romans since, I believe, the beginning of May, and walking through, the entirety of the book, not going necessarily word for word, but more kind of theme after theme and chunking out some chapters. But the rest of Romans really is a lot of application, okay? Applying truth. Applying God's word, and not just, okay, that sounds great, that looks great, that's true, that's good, now it doesn't dictate or change how I live my life. Well, as I introduced last week, the rest of the chapter is application. Applying what God's word has dictated us, called us, commanded us, guided us to do. And that is so important for us as believers, us as the church, to go, okay, what is that standard? That's always a great conversation. I won't spend too much kind of in that this morning, because I really want to get to the passage in looking to see the application of God's word in our lives. Last week, I finished off my message with how they'll know us, as Jesus echoes those words of how we love, right? How we love one another, how we interact with one another inside the church as our families, our neighbors, and how we interact, our tone, our actions, our responses. Well, in Romans, we'll be there. I know you're surprised by that. In chapter 12, this morning we're going to look at verses 9 through 21. It's a larger chunk of passage, and I really want to really kind of teach and apply this. I was talking to some friends in the lobby this morning, just about the sermon this morning, looking to see, all right, this passage is super direct and concise and clear. And that is important. So it's not going, okay, that was a high level. There's a lot of doctrine and theology in this. No, this is rubber meets the road application where you interact in everyday life, okay? And so I'm thankful that Romans does that, where a lot of people look and go, Romans is, wow, there's a lot of doctrine and theology, some terms and some phrases that are above my Bible understanding. Guess what I wanted to say? That's okay. I'm glad you've stayed with us as we dig through that. And my goal was to, as I right in the beginning of the series, defined some terms that I knew that many of us would struggle to understand. But this morning, I can say pretty, confidently, most of us won't struggle to understand some of these. I will say most of us will struggle to apply these truths, okay? And that's the parallels. But if you have a Bible, devise something to follow along. We'll be in Romans chapter 12, looking at verses 9 through 21. Verse 9, Paul continues, "Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, and bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty and associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord.' To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." God, we come to you this morning. God, we just are so grateful for your word. We are so grateful for truth. God, as we hear it taught, may we apply it. May it be a compass, a guide to how we live, how we interact, how we respond in every single day. God, may we be set apart, different. Christians living differently, living a radical life, one that is transformed, God, by you. God, I pray that you give me my voice, the strength, my throat, the ability to be able to communicate and teach this morning, God. And may your spirit be clear. That's what we ask for, God. We praise you. We love you. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. I'm sure you can tell my throat's a little raw this morning. And so my voice is a little deeper than normal. Okay, I feel a little bit more manly with that. And so, no, it's a long week, but it's good to be here. Verse 9, Paul opens up a statement, "Let love be genuine." That is an important phrase to begin with this morning. It's important that we understand what we've been called to do. Throughout really much of Jesus' teaching as well as the New Testament, we've been called to love. And we're going to define what that actually means this morning, okay? So not just a generic broad term like, okay, go love them. What does that actually mean for a Christian to love someone? So we're going to get to that. But in Colossians chapter 3, Paul tells this church, above all things, or above all these, put on love. 1 John 4, 7 and 8, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love." And so we've been called to love, we've been called to a higher standard. It's important that we understand this as the church and as Christians. You have been called to a higher standard. If you identify as a child of God, you've confessed your sins to God and you believe that Jesus came, died on a cross and rose again. You are a child of God. You are called to a higher standard. Okay? That is so imperative that we understand that. As you read this passage, as you read the scriptures, you must grasp and understand, okay, I'm called to live differently than the world around me. And yes, that's a weight that we as Christians should bear. We should be excited for. But a few weeks ago, we taught on Romans chapter 12, verse 1. And you go, what is and why did this standard come? Well, verse 1 says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Here it is, which is your spiritual worship. One translation says, which is a reasonable worship or response. What does that mean? Well, if you are a child of God, you have been called to present your life to God. God, I am your vessel. I am under your control and your guiding. I am giving a commitment. So if you want to title this message, I have to title each message, so I was unsure, but you may want to title this message, the reality is Romans 12, 1 commitment. It's too long, by the way, but it's a verse 1 commitment, what our love should look like. And for us, it's to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. And what does that look like? Loving genuinely. Loving in a godly way. So verse 9 says, let love be genuine, a foundational truth, an action for Christian conduct. This word love here is, in the Greek, is agape, which is a divine love. There is other words used, Greek words used for love. There's five of them. But right here, agape is used. All right, this word is a divine, godly love and God-given love. So this word indicates the kind of love we are to show others, a genuine, godly love, loving them regardless of circumstances, regardless of outcome, and loving them the way God has loved us. If you want to look to see how God has loved us, you can rewind in Romans to Romans 8 and Romans 9. Well, let's get truthful. The whole beginning of Romans, while I was still yet a sinner, I was an enemy of God, God loved me and sent his son Jesus to die on the cross. That's the kind of love God has called us to live. They asked Jesus, the greatest commandment. What did he say? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then what? Love your neighbor as yourself. What an imperative statement for us as the church. And so this genuine love is not fake or pretentious. I'll even take it one step further. I'm not loving them because my pastor says I have to. I'm loving them because God loved me. Okay, that's 1 John 4, 7 and 8, all right? I'm not going to sing you the song. I want to, Isaiah, I really do. But I'm not going to. As a kid, we learned this verse in a song style as kids in Sunday school, so I'm not going to do it. But it really is, I love because God has loved me. And my response is to do that, to respond that. So it's not a fake or pretentious love. It's a genuine, true care. 1 Peter 4:8, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. 1 Timothy 1:5, the aim of our charge is love that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. A sincere love. This is not a superficial February 14th card that says, hey, you know what? I don't even know what this means. No, this is a real, true, intimate, raw love that we can live out. But then I'm glad it doesn't just stop there, because genuine love, I think if we all were to write out or communicate what genuine love is, that may appear to be different. Yeah, there'll be some similarities. Some of us, the love languages Gary Chapman communicates, we receive and communicate and show love differently. But Paul in Romans gives us some specifics of what this love should look like. And so if you're a note taker, these are really, really good. If you just are a highlighter in your Bible, hey, genuine love. Okay, what does it look like? Well, I'm glad Paul doesn't stop here because he continues. The first one is love confronts evil. Let love be genuine, abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. One translation you may have, it is communicated as hate what is evil. And so our response is when we truly love, it's a strong emotion vehemently disliking something. And so I'm glad that Paul begins with this genuine love, because our society, our world, the media, social media, they go, hey, you know what? If you love someone, just let them live how they want to live. Can I say that? That's not true love. That's not exactly even close to what true love is. See, love is not passive or affirming. Ephesians calls us to speak the truth in love. That's important as we speak truth in love. It's not just says, hey, speak the truth and then check and see if you love them, by the way. I love them so much, I care, I speak the truth. And then if you tie that in, as Peter shares, with gentleness and respect. But it's important that we stand and speak truth as really loving someone. You're like, what does that actually look like? Well, if you see someone careening off a cliff, heading towards disaster, is it really love to sit silent and go, hey, they'll figure it out? Come on, is it? No. Real love is saying, hey, there is danger heading that way. I love you. I want you to know. I want to stop you because I know there's a cliff that you're coming to. That's real love. Genuine love. And so love is not genuine when it leads someone to do something wrong. And so standing on that truth, and so like hating, despising evil in this world. And so there's a movement, and I use this phrase very carefully, in churches that way, hey, you know what? Just allow people to live however they want. They don't have to live what the Bible says. Guess what? That's not true love. Loving someone is looking them in the eye, caring for them and speaking truth and saying, hey, I love you so much. This may hurt. The Bible says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. What does that mean? I love and care for you so much. I want to speak truth into your life. It may not feel good. You can go even one step further. You may not like me afterwards. And guess what? I'm preaching at myself right now. Like, really? Yeah, I'm a people pleaser. I've shared this with you before. I don't like being disliked. I like when you like me. But the reality is when we speak truth and love someone, say, hey, you know, I love you so much, there is danger heading in that direction. And so love confronts evil. He keeps going. Love is committed and shows it. Says, love one another with a brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. This word love is not the agape love, this divine love. The word used here is phileo, which is simply a love that is committed. A brotherly love that is committed to helping through thick and thin. So it's a devotion, a familial or family affection. But it doesn't just stop there. I love what is it? Okay, I'm committed to you and then I'm gonna show it. I love this passage. I probably could have preached an entire message on it and I probably should have, but it says, outdo one another in showing honor. That is an intention to elevate others around you. It's an intention to elevate others, going, hey, you know what? I love you, I care for you, I'm committed to you, and I want to honor you. I want others to see that, not I'm honoring you, that you are honored. What a cool mindset. What an important mindset for us as Christians, us as the church applying Romans is going, hey, you know what? I love you so much, I want to honor you. And that's so imperative as we take pleasure in honoring and elevating others. And thinking through practically what that looks like. Let's keep going. Love is not lazy. Love is not lazy. Paul continues, do not be slothful in zeal, but be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. The word fervent here carries the idea of literally burning or being aglow in the spirit. It's like I have a burning desire in my life to care for others and to serve the Lord. Serving the Lord. Can I say this to you? Serving the Lord is not easy. And this is not just simply from a pastor or from a pastor's perspective or the role of a pastor, which it's being a pastor is not easy either. But I would say any and every single person in here to serve the Lord with zeal in a fervent heart, being on fire for the Lord, to serve other people is not easy. It's tiring. You're going to give something up. Time, effort, abilities. Love is not lazy. Our love is dispensed with burning energy. I read this week, towards those around us. I love the Lord so much. I seek to love others around me. Love people that are not easy to love, which he gets to later in the passage. We'll get there. But love people that don't love you back. Loving your enemy. But real, true, radical love that God has called us, not lazy. Luther worked so hard that he's described as heading to bed. He would literally fall into bed. Moody, in his evening prayers, writes simply, Lord, I am tired, amen, and would go to sleep. The great pastor John Wesley, his days consisted of riding 70 miles on a horse. He didn't have to deal with this construction, though, so that's all right. Right? Riding 70 miles a day on a horse, preaching three times a day. See, true love labors. True love labors. I'm so proud of our church this week. Long week. We had an opportunity to love our community. And so it was a really great opportunity. There was a tragic event in our community where a 50-year-old firefighter lost his life. And it was horrific, terrible, terrible stuff. But our church stepped up and said, hey, we'll do whatever you need. We'll do whatever you need. Whatever you need, facilities. And so Thursday, man, there was this building was full of firefighters, police, all the Springfield Township leadership, all was in here. We were able to share the gospel with them and love them and care for them. But guess what? There's a lot of work to setting that up. There's a lot of work to doing that. And so we're not looking, hey, let's pat on our back. No. We're looking for these opportunities. We're looking for these opportunities. Hey, you know what? God, it takes effort and time and work. Loving it takes effort. It's not lazy. And so for you to say, hey, you know, and I love someone and sit back and go, no, I want to work at showing and caring as we show and love one another. And you should be tired when you love. We'll keep going. Love will cost you something. Paul continues, said, contribute to the needs of the saints that seek to show hospitality. What is he saying? Love will cost you financially. This is what he's speaking specifically about finances here. He's saying, hey, when you love someone or you love the lost, you love the ministry, you know what? You'll participate in it. It's much described in 1 Corinthians where the Corinthian church was being challenged by the church of Macedonia, where the church of Macedonia was going, hey, you know what? We want to beg to give more because we want to be privileged to be a part of it. What is he saying? It's going to cost you something. Well, I have a love for the lost. Well, do you give to it? Do you participate in that? See, when Christ Church is living in the love, the needs of the church will be met. I read this quote. It's good. Our care for brothers and sisters in Christ should reach down right into our wallets and purses and cost us. But it didn't just stop there. I love it. He says, contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show. seek to show is that strenuous pursuit. So we just got done talking about love is not lazy, but then he's talking about, hey, it's a strenuous pursuit, all right? The best strenuous pursuit I can think of is someone that runs long distances, all right? I'm not a long distance runner, as you probably can tell, all right? And so maybe you are, and you're kind of crazy. I always say that about long distance runners. But long distance runners have a mindset. It's a strenuous pursuit. They don't even know where they're going sometimes. They just get out and run for fun. We need to pray for them. But it's a pursuit. And so it's a chase. They're running. I don't know how long is out, but I'm going to strenuously pursue. That's the walk of and how to love people the way God has called us to love. That's what genuine love is. It's a strenuous pursuit. It's going to be difficult. I'm going to be tired. It's going to cost me something. I'm going to give up something, but guess what? God has called me to genuinely love, and so that's what I'm going to do. And so it will pour out of me this strenuous pursuit. It's a seeking to show that, hey, you know, I love you so much, I was willing to, you fill in the blank. Paul continues in verse 14. This is where it gets really difficult. Loving those when it's difficult to love, right? Loving when it's difficult to love. Verse 14 says, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. So what is he saying here? First in verse 14. Bless those who persecute you. Bless those that do harm to you. Bless those that dislike you. That's a real popular message, by the way, right? It's real easy to preach, real hard to live. I told you, man, these are truths that we can talk about on a Sunday morning at our 10:30 gathering, but on Monday morning when our boss is persecuting us or we feel persecuted or done poorly to by a coworker, man, this goes out the window. I don't want to bless you. I want to do something else to you. Right? We're honest. But all Paul is doing is echoing the words of Jesus in the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus said, you have heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Really? He continues. He doesn't just stop there loving them. Pray for those who persecute you. This is not a prayer that God would smack them in the head, by the way. This is a prayer, and it implies blessing. God, I'm praying that you would bless my enemy. I'm praying that you would do something good for them. I can say this, I don't do that often. Some of you, I'm like, really, Caleb? I really enjoyed the front end of your message. It would have been good if you just closed in prayer and we'd have ended, all right? I get it, trust me. It gets even more complicated. But for us, I gotta love my neighbor, cool, sounds good, but now I gotta love the enemy who has done horrific things to me. Yep, you gotta pray for the very blessings of God in their life. You wanna practically apply what we're talking about? Yeah, I'll say this. This week, we don't list names here, okay, all right? You have somebody you dislike or somebody's persecuting you or somebody is doing bad to you. Here's what I want you to do. Pray for them every single day. Pray for them by name to God. God, I want to pray for. I'll tell you this. Once you begin to pray for an enemy, your mind and your heart will change on them. I can guarantee you it. Like, man, that's real difficult. I know it is. It's something that it's, as I said, easy to preach, hard to live. But yet God has called us to be different, to love different, a genuine, true love. We've been called to live radically. That's what Jesus and Paul are calling. Verse 15, It says, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. What is Paul saying? Hey, love people at the lowest of lows, the broken moments in life. Genuine love is going, hey, you know what? I love you so much, I don't even know what to say. And in those uncomfortable moments, as you're like, hey, I feel like words don't even comprehend or grasp the difficulties that you're dealing with in life. I know you're weeping. I know you're struggling. I don't even know what to say. But in that, I'm going to bend down and care for you and love you the way God loved me. That's what genuine love is. Great Puritan preacher George Fox says, I prayed to God that he baptized my heart into all conditions so I might be able to enter the needs and conditions of all. See, our hearts should be broken for those who are broken. That's what love, real, genuine God love should look like. I can say this, and I want to say this very clearly to you. This church, the River Church, I want us to be as active as we can for the lowest of lows of people that are in those moments, that we can be as active as God was for us when we were in our lowest of lows. Yeah, you know, I mean, I'm not equipped to deal with something like that. Yeah, but you can love someone. Well, I don't know what to say. They need to see a counselor. Guess what? They may need to see a counselor, but you can love them. That's real, authentic ministry. And not focusing on self. Verse 16, he continues. He says, live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty. The word haughty is think of yourself more highly than you ought to. Prideful. But associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Simple terms, Christians are to associate with everyone. We're all ordinary people saved by the grace of God. There's no caste system in the church. Nobody more important than anyone else in this room. Okay? That's important. That's pastor included. Every single one of us is seeking to glorify God in our daily lives. We struggle with sin every single day. Every single one of us. Nobody more important. There's nobody with seat reservations in here. Well, I give to this church. Guess what? I'm glad you give to this church. Keep giving to this church because God is using it. But guess what? That doesn't make you more important. That's somebody that doesn't have anything to give. And you want to get me fired up, that'll get me fired up. For some reason, religion has manipulated it and used that. Where, well, hey, you know what? I paid, I tithe, I give this much money. I'm so glad you do. I'm thankful you do, but that doesn't make you more important. Every single one of us struggles with this thing called sin, and we just want to glorify God. That's what believers should be and look at. Now, what an important standard. Paul continues and really kind of closes out the Romans 12:1 commitment and doubles down and emphasizes, if you will, calling us to love when we are wronged. Verse 17 says, repay no one evil for evil. But give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far if it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Again, echoing the words of Jesus in Matthew 5, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. But he continues in verse 19. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed them. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, for by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. This is a supremely radical call. Come on, let's be honest, right? Like, I gotta pray for them? Okay, I can probably pray for them. I gotta love them? I will try to love them. But now I gotta outwardly give them something? Are you kidding me? Seriously? Caleb, this has gone too far. Well, you can take it up with the Lord because it's very clear here. Right? Don't repay evil for evil. How do we do this? One, trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. Like, how does that happen? Guess what? God, you are in control. And you said, you will repay evil. You are the scorekeeper. You are one that gives avenge. Okay, you will avenge. I don't need to do that. I trust in your plan, your purpose. See, what we like to do as human beings, we like being scorekeepers. Right? All right, God, check one box for me. They got minus 3 points. They're in troubling. You think I'm kidding? You guys, some of you do this for sure. Because I do, for sure. We're like, all right, God, like, this is scorekeeping. Like, man, they're at a deficit. They're ready. All right, go ahead. Trust the Lord. One translation, leave room for God's wrath. I'm like, wow. But guess what? This is not us sitting in our seat thinking of Jonah as he's like, all right, I preached the message. I'm going to sit on the hill and go, all right, God, now it's time for them to experience the wrath of God. That's not what's being implied here, okay? That's not what, hey, you know what? I kept score, God. They've done this. I'm going to sit back in my chair, have my Doritos in hand, and ready for them to experience the wrath of God. That's not what it is. It's not. Because we've been called to then do good to them. Yeah, they have done bad to me. My response isn't to smack them upside the head. My response is not to gossip about them. My response is not to cuss them out. My response is not to scream at them. My response is to, hey, you know what? Yeah, you screamed at me. You did wrong to me. You hurt me. But guess what? Hey, do you have needs that I could pray for? That I could fill? Are you saying I got to spend money on that monster? Yep. I am. It's real quiet in here now. Because that's what's said here. Yeah, it's going to cost me something. And I got to care for somebody that I don't want to care for. I want to tell God and them, yeah, God, I trust you. I don't understand what you're doing. This hurts. I don't want to talk to this person. I don't want to see them. I don't want to interact with them. I want them out of my life forever. And God says, hey, love them. Pray for them, care for them, give them and help them with their needs. So our response is to trust God. He's a scorekeeper. His plan is good. And we must do good to them. And it says, and this is what some of you like, and I understand why. Verse 20. Says, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Right? So you're like, guess what? I'm going to heap some coals on somebody this week. No, this is not like to burn them, all right? What is this actually meaning? Well, it actually is meaning that when we do good to someone that doesn't deserve it, they feel shame and contrition. And they respond and go, why are you acting this way? And guess what you do? Because God loved me when I was his enemy. God cared for me when I brought nothing to the table. That's what Romans is all about. That's the theology, the doctrine of Romans. God, I am broken. I bring nothing to the table. Yet you loved me when I was your enemy. You forgave me when I didn't deserve it. You showed me grace. You showed me mercy. You had your hand out and gave me life. And I was able to receive that only by God's love. For God so loved the world he gave. That's what genuine love should look like, should feel like, should respond like. And ultimately someone goes, hey, why are you loving this way? I don't know why. God told me to. I just want to fulfill what Romans 12:1 says. And give my life as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, and pleasing to God. I just want to please him. You're like, well, I gotta love the person that's talking garbage about me? Yes. Why do I gotta do that? Because God loved me when I was talking garbage about him. And I wanna worship him and I wanna honor him. I wanna be different. Yeah, that's what I said. To be a follower of Jesus is different. It's different. So when we heap these coals, it's not to go, hey, you know what? So they get burned, it's so that they feel the shame and go, what's going on? You can say, you know what? I don't know why. I'm just trying to honor the Lord Jesus Christ, and my heart is pure, and I want to love you genuinely because God loved me. And he wraps up with verse 21. Verse 21 says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I always tell you this. I always want to be as truthful and very, very, very clear with you. It's easy to be overcome by evil, isn't it? Isn't it? Come on, let's be honest, right? We can say that. We can all agree with that. It's easy to be overcome. When someone does something bad to you, they do something, it's easy to be filled with rage, anger, bitterness, hate. I mean, as Ephesians 4 talks about, this malice builds up in my life. It's easy to be built up with that and go, hey, you know what? I'm about to pour it out on you. So are we overcome by evil or are we overcome by good? Can we overcome evil with the good, the goodness of God? God, you've been so good to me, I didn't deserve it. I just want to respond in a way that you would respond. So it's what would Jesus do bracelets, man. Those are great reminders. That's a Romans 12:1 commitment. Thinking, man, what about this commitment to be a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable, pleasing to God? And then my mind was taken to Acts chapter 7. In Acts chapter 7, one of Jesus' followers named Stephen is preaching. He's preaching the gospel. He's preaching the truth. Preaching a very similar message that Peter preaches at Pentecost, by the way. And the crowd is angered at the message. And what do? Well, Bible scribes in Acts 7, they pick up stones. And they literally stone him to death. See, he was just preaching the truth, loving and caring. He was genuine love. You want to really understand what verse 21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. You want to know what it is? Here it is. Acts 7, verse 60. And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice. There it is. I don't even have to go to the words of Jesus on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. Now, this is Stephen. This is someone that is not God. Lord, do not hold this sin against them. When he said this, he fell asleep, he died. You want to understand what really, truly Romans 12:1 commitment looks like? Genuine love, there it is. Like, man, could I read the whole chapter? Yeah, read the whole chapter this week. You want to really understand what it is? It gets very, very clear. Stephen was stoned, killed for preaching the gospel. Don't hold this sin against them, God. I love them. Genuine love. An enemy. Someone that did hurt, some evil. This morning, So I was kind of reflecting in. Kind of praying over the passages and thoughts, I begin to think of situations in my own life. And I'm sure as I begin to preach this, you have done the same. Some interactions are like, man, God, like, have you shown them the revenge they deserved yet? Right? And then I began to go, like, God, how do I have the heart like Stephen? God, I just want to love them genuinely. Care for them. Yeah, they may not deserve, but guess what? Neither did you, neither did I. And love them the way God has called us to do. A genuine, pure love. God, we come to you this morning. God, this passage is so clear and concise. The details are very much so easy for us to comprehend. But God, as we continue to seek to apply your scriptures, apply your words, God, may we be challenged and convicted on them right now in our seats, where if someone is in person, joining us online, preaching the message, God, I pray that your Holy Spirit work right now. God, that we can seek Ephesians 4 forgiveness, forgiving as God has forgiven us. Genuinely loving those around us, the ones that are easy to love and the ones that are hard to love. Loving ones that it makes sense to love and ones that make absolutely no sense to love, God. Give us the ability to show them love. Not approve the evil that is being done or that someone is living in, but speaking truth and loving them the way God has loved us. Love that is patient and kind. Love that does not boast or envy. God, love that rejoices with the truth. Love that believes and bears and hopes for someone. God, help us to be that way. Be different, set apart. God, we praise you. We love you. Challenge us, God. God, if there's somebody this morning that was seeing faces, thinking of wounds, some trauma that they've lived through, God, I pray for grace in their life right now. God, I feel led to pray specifically. There's some people sitting in this room right now that have experienced horrific, horrific things, God. God, may they, as your word says, you be near to them right now in the hardships, the brokenness of their life, God. But God, may this incident, may this altercation, may this trauma not define how they love, God. May they find forgiveness right in their seat, right now, God. And they walk out of here experiencing a peace that passes all understanding only by, given by you, God. God, I pray for that. Just feel led to pray for that right now. God, this morning, may we genuinely love. Why? Because you first loved us. Thank you, God. I'll never be able to say thank you enough. We love you. We praise you. We honor you. It's in your name I preach and pray. In the name of Jesus. Amen.